What does the Word of God do for us? There are so many things that the Word of God does for us in our lives if we only spend time in it. The Word of God encourages us. It enlightens us. It gives us hope. It teaches us how to love, how to interact with our fathers, our earthly fathers and mothers, as well as our spouses. The Word of God teaches us how to treat our neighbors, our government leaders, our friends, our co-workers, our employers. There are so many things that the Word of God does for us if we only allow it through our study of it. We take the time to study it. We can learn how to live. This afternoon, I'd like to talk for a few minutes about a few things that the Word of God does for us. For the most part, I'm going to let the Word of God tell us what it can and does do for us rather than tell you myself. So I'll be hopefully in the Word through the most of this lesson. I just picked out four different things that the Word of God does for us, but like I mentioned there's many things the Word of God does for us. First off, let's talk about the Word of God equips us. The Word of God equips us. Over in Acts chapter 8 and verse 35. Acts 8 and 35. Speaking of Philip and the eunuch. Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. From the knowledge that the Ethiopian eunuch had of God's word, when Philip came upon him and saw where he was reading, from that point, Philip was equipped because of God's word to use God's word to lead the eunuch the rest of the way to the gospel of Christ, to the good news, which then convicted the eunuch to be baptized. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6. 1 Timothy 4 and 6. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. Paul speaking to Timothy. Timothy was equipped to instruct the brethren with the Word of God. We are also equipped to share the Word with those that are our brethren or those of the world. And just as Paul mentioned to Timothy, this will make us a good minister of Christ, taking God's Word and teaching that to others. Ephesians chapter 6, speaking of God's Word equipping us. Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 17. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word of God equips us to deal with the wiles of the devil. And specifically, the Word of God, the sword of Spirit mentioned in verse 17 there, is ours to do battle with Satan and those in the world who would do the will of Satan, and all those parts of the armor of God that it speaks about there. All of those things we're going to be given, we're going to be equipped with because of our study of God's Word. So the Word of God equips us to deal with Satan and everything around us. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 21. Proverbs 22:21. That I may make you know the certainty of the words of truth, that you may answer words of truth to those who send to you. God's word equips us with the certainty of his truth, so that we may share those words, those truths, with others. It is because of our complete faith in the Word of God that we go out and share that word with others. So as we see, the Word of God equips us. Everything that we need to live this life, everything we need to live a godly life, to teach others about a godly life, to prepare us for this life and the life to come, we found in God's Word. God's Word equips us. What else does God's Word do for us? God's Word convicts. Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 8 and 9. Nehemiah 8, verses 8 and 9. So they read distinctly from the book and the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn nor weep." For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. All the people wept when they heard the words of God. Why did the people weep when they heard the words of God? Because the word of God spoke to them. It told them the way that God intended them to live. Many of them were probably weeping because they were not living as God told them to live at that time. God's word makes us realize the things that we are doing wrong in our lives. It convicts us where we err, convicts us where we do wrong. It convicts us where we are not doing what God asks us to do as we study it. 2 Chronicles chapter 34. 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verses 18 through 21. Then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, "Hilkiah the priest has given me a book." And Shaphan read it before the king. Now it happened when the king heard the words of the law that he tore his clothes. Then the king commanded Hilkiah, Ahikam the son of Shaphan, Abdon the son of Micah, Shaphan the scribe, and Azariah, a servant of the king, saying, "Go, inquire of the Lord for me and for those who are left in Israel and Judah concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out on us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord, to do according to all that is written in this book." So we see King Josiah, after he'd become ruler over God's people. This was more than 6 centuries before Christ. He succeeded a wicked ruler, Manasseh, I believe, the ruler before him, and he had torn down some of the high places. He was striving to do right from the beginning of his kingship. But at some point, the law was found, and it was read before him. At the beginning of Josiah's rule, this copy of God's word is found in the temple. King Josiah had the law of God read before him by Shaphan the scribe. And then, as we read there, when the king heard the word of God read, he was so distraught by the fact that he was not abiding by God's law that he rent his clothes in mourning. He was immediately convicted by God's word. A great revival took place in the kingdom because of God's word and the conviction it inspired during the reign of Josiah. Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 3. Back over in Nehemiah. Nehemiah 9:3. And they stood up in their place and read from the book of the law of the Lord their God for 1/4 of the day, and for another 1/4 they confessed and worshipped the Lord their God. Nehemiah had the word of God read to the people for 3 hours every day. The conviction this caused in the heart of the people instilled in the people the desire to then confess their sins and worship God for another 3 hours a day. The power of the word of God convicted the people of the sin in their lives and the fact that they needed to change their lives and live according to God's word. John chapter 16 and verse 8. This is Jesus speaking. "And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." The verse before speaking of the Helper, the Holy Spirit, is who they're talking about there. The Holy Spirit, when we receive him, will assist us in convicting us of God's plan. The Holy Spirit's reproof is based upon the Word of God. The Holy Spirit helps us. It's our helper as we study God's Word, and it will convict us of God's Word. Acts chapter 18 and verse 28. 18 and 28. "For he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing them from the Scriptures that Jesus is the Christ." Much like the Apostle Peter did with his audience in Acts chapter 2, this is speaking of Apollos here, he was able to convict some of the Jews that Jesus was the Christ according to God's word. He convicted them using God's word. Peter was able to convict about 3,000 souls in Acts chapter 2 using God's word that were added to become children of God. And Luke chapter 1 and verse 4. Luke 1 and 4. Luke, writing this book to Theophilus, mentioned the last word in verse 3. And verse 4 says, that you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed, that Theophilus might be convicted of those things that he has been instructed in, namely the word of God. Just as the people during the Bible were convicted of their shortcomings and sins when they heard the word of God read before them, so should we be as we sit in the assembly, or as we sit during our daily study time, reading God's word. We should be convicted of our wrongs, our shortcomings, as we read the word of God. And just as we read about those people during biblical times weeping over those convictions, we should also be touched in such a way, powerful emotional way, as the word of God is that powerful. It should convict us in that manner. God's word answers. It answers our questions. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. The last two verses of Matthew. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Christ speaking to us. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So what is our mission from Christ? We get the answer here. We are called to preach the word of God to those in the world around us. We are to go forth and teach all nations and to baptize those that believe in Jesus Christ. As I said, this is Christ, our Savior and God, that gave us this answer. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. Colossians 1:16. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And also Revelations chapter 4 and verse 11. Revelations 4:11. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. God created all things, everything that we can see around us. And he created all these things for him, for his pleasure. So that question, what are we here for? What is our purpose? It's for God. We're here to glorify God. We're here to be a pleasure to God. We're here because God wanted us to be here. Without God, we would not exist. So we need to realize that we need to live this existence for him and for his pleasure, doing his will. God is worthy of his creation, giving him all glory and honor. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, verse we know well. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. How do we receive the Holy Spirit? We see here that we must repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and we will receive the Holy Spirit as that helper that we talked about before. John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. To the question, where was Christ in the beginning? He was in the beginning along with God and the Holy Spirit. They have all been since the beginning. Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. Acts 20 and 7. Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 2. 2 Corinthians 16:2. Speaking of the first day, on the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. When do we partake of the Lord's Supper and the collection? According to the Word of God, we take care of those responsibilities on the first day of the week, every first day of the week. The Word of God can answer many of our questions in this life. It can tell us how to live our lives so that we can be a glory to God and so that we can have a good earthly life and also a future heavenly home. We don't ever have to worry ourselves about some of the big questions that people in the world may ask, the philosophers of the world, such as, why are we here? Or where did we come from? The answers are in God's word, and we have faith in these answers, and those philosophical questions mean nothing to us. The answers are right here. The word of God gives us all these types of answers. God's word answers our questions. Last one we'll talk about is God's word corrects. Psalm 119, verses 65 through 67. You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. David, talking, was instructed by the word of God. Once he went astray, but the word of God corrected him, and now he keeps the word of God. David knew that he needed the correction of God. We know of several stories throughout David's life where he went against the word of God. But once he was reminded of the word of God, that he had transgressed the word of God, he was quick to heed the correction of God. Psalm chapter 17 and verse 4. Psalm 17:4. Concerning the works of men, by the word of your lips, I have kept myself from the paths of the destroyer. This comes during a prayer from David to God, telling God that the word from God's lips keeps David from the path of the destroyer. God's word is what corrects us. God's word is that which can keep us on the straight and narrow. Without God's word to instruct us on how to live our lives, how can we do so? God's word is our ruler, our standard. It corrects us. It keeps us on the straight path. It is our standard against which we measure our beliefs. If we discover, based on our study of God's word, that we hold a belief that goes against the teaching we find in God's word, the ruler, the standard, God's word, demands that we reject that belief and we shift our ruler, our standard, back to God's word. James chapter 1, verses 23 through 25. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Again, God's word corrects us. It causes us to do the things that he instructs in his word. Without God instructing us through his word, how can we be corrected? We, of course, can not only be a hearer of his word, but we must do the things that God tells us in his words. If we examine ourselves, if we look at ourselves in the mirror after reading God's word, we will allow God's word to correct us, to be our ruler, to be our standard. Back to Acts chapter 18. Speaking of Apollos again, verses 24 through 28. Acts 18, 24 through 28. Now a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. For he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. I read verse 28 previously, but it fits in here with God's word correcting also. Sometimes we teach what we think to be correct, but when shown our error within the Word of God, the Word convicts us and then corrects us. We can then teach the Word of God more accurately than before, as Apollos was able to do here. Apollos was wise enough to show the Jews using the Word of God the correct way that Jesus is the Christ. Again, just as we see with the examples in God's Word, we need to allow God's Word to correct us. As we study the Word of God and see the areas that we need correction in, we need to allow that correction to take place. So like I said, there's many different ways that God's Word can help us. The four we talked about this afternoon, I'd like to leave you with. God's Word can equip us. God's Word convicts us. God's Word answers our questions and the questions of those around us. And God's Word will correct us. So we need to make sure we spend our time in God's Word to do all these things and for all the other blessings that God's Word can bring to us in our lives. Thank you.